So today's Mother's Day, and when you hear the word motherhood, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? For some of you, it might be good memories about your own children, and maybe being their mom. For some of you, it might be tragic thoughts about children, about loss or separation. For some of you, it might be thoughts of your own mom, and again, maybe positive or negative, maybe about warm chocolate chip cookies and getting your elbow patched up when it was scratched, or maybe about your mom not being there when you really wanted her to be. So there's a lot of different emotions that people in the room are feeling right now as we say motherhood, but I want to take us all kind of out into left field, out into kind of a weird spot as we think about motherhood. If you'll stick with me, I think we can learn a really valuable lesson no matter where you're at today. So when we go out into left field, we're going to look way, way, way back to the very beginning of our story as humans, okay? So we're going to look all the way back at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So this verse is telling us something very important about all of us in the room, male or female, that we've been made in God's image. That in some way, just like a photograph is an image of, can be an image of a person, that each one of us in some way have some of God in us, that God has put some of himself into us, male and female. And that there's things we can learn from each gender, from each person about God. So as we hear that, you might think, why is it so important to have images of God? Why is it so important to have metaphors for God? Well, anytime we're trying to understand something that's really, really, really big, images can be really, really helpful, okay? So earlier this week, during our prayer time, I sent out a prayer prompt, and it was using an analogy about Bill Gates, and it mentioned that Bill Gates has like $85 billion or something crazy. So when you hear the number, when you hear the figure billions of dollars, some of you might be able to make sense of that, and you're like, well, I know a billion is 1,000 million, but it's kind of hard to picture what on earth does that really mean? What does 1,000 million look like? Well, if we see a picture of it, though, it becomes a little easier to grasp. So we've all seen $100 bills, and we can picture $10,000 pretty easily. Well, I've never seen even 10,000 at once, but most of us probably haven't seen $1 million in cash, but that's what it would look like a little bundle at your feet. But then there's what $1 billion at the bottom would look like. It's like 8 forklift loads of cash, okay? It's kind of ridiculous. It's a huge sum, and without that picture, you probably didn't really comprehend just how much that really was. So images can really help us take really, really big stuff and understand it. Now, nothing gets bigger or more beyond our understanding than the nature of God. God, by definition, is the biggest, best, most incredible of everything. And so when we try to say, oh, let's have a relationship with God, or let's connect with God, or let's understand God, we're in really, really deep waters. So we need metaphors, we need images to help us grasp the truths that are really, really big. So today, if some of you are thinking a little bit ahead, you're like, okay, Jake's talking about motherhood. He's talking about images of God to understand God. Some of you might be kind of gripping your pew tightly, and you're thinking, wait, are you about to tell us that we need to start praying to, like, Mother God or something like that? I'm not going to go there, okay? So just want to set that fear aside if anybody's got it right now. The Bible oftentimes describes, it'll use the pronoun he for God, and we think of God as our Heavenly Father. Why do we think that? Well, the reason we think that is it comes on very good authority. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he prayed to God as his Father, and he talked to us about how God wants us to be a part of his family, and that God wants to be our Father. So it makes sense that our songs and our prayers often use this imagery of Father when we're talking about God, our Creator. So that's well-founded. We're not changing any of the wording here at Maywood on stuff like that to Mother God or something like that. But we hear about God as our Father so often that I think we miss out on the fact that the Bible talks about a lot of metaphors of God, and it uses motherly metaphors to describe God's relationship with people at times. And a lot of us don't really pay attention to that. We just think, oh, God's a father. And we just kind of end the conversation there. So let's look through some of the Bible and see, what are these metaphors where God says, I'm like a mom? Okay, so let's look at some of those. First one is in Hosea chapter 11. It says, God speaking, he says, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. Verse 4, God says, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. So there's two analogies here. One of teaching a little child to walk, and one of cuddling with a little kid, a little baby, and feeding the baby. Now, even in modern society, who does most of that? And particularly back in the ancient world when Hosea was written, when God was speaking this, it was mostly moms who were snuggling up to their kids and feeding them. And it was mostly moms who were holding those itty-bitty hands and helping them take their first steps. And so God's saying to a specific group of people in Hosea, he says, just like you've seen moms cuddle their baby and feed them, I want to cuddle you and feed you, provide for your needs. And just like you've seen moms just bent over and helping their kid take their first steps, I wanted to lead you and help you grow and take those first steps on your own. So this is a different image maybe than we've had of God. When you think of God, have you thought of these images before? And have you realized that God relates to people in these sorts of ways? Let's read on in Isaiah. Isaiah 66 says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. So here God is speaking to Israel, a nation whose pride and joy was Jerusalem. And as he's speaking to those folks, he's saying, I want to comfort you just like a mom comforts her child. We've all seen this moment where a little kid freaks out and just starts bawling and wailing. And sometimes it's over something like a cupcake got given to a sibling. And like, the world is over. You know, everything is pain and tyranny, you know, and my heart is full of misery. But sometimes it's really, really important stuff. And it's kind of the same reaction with little kids. Little kids feel emotions really strong. 100% of their heart feels that one emotion. And while sometimes some people go to that and be like, it's just a cupcake, you know, or whatever, and like are kind of mean about it, we've all seen those moms who understand the emotion that their kid is going through. And they actually relate to the fact that for that kid, in that moment, this is super hard. And so they pull that kid close and they start to comfort the kid. And God says to a specific people in Isaiah 66, just like a mom wants to hold you close and tell you that it's all going to be okay, that's what God wanted to do with those people. He wanted to pull them in close and hug them. He didn't necessarily want to tell them all the answers. He just wanted to hold them close and love them and let that comfort them, just like a mom comforts her child. So we've seen a couple passages in the Old Testament. If we jump forward to the New Testament, Jesus himself, who we believe is God, we don't have time to get into God the Creator, God the Father, God, you know, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus uses an analogy that's also motherly to describe himself. So in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. So he's rebuking the city. But then listen to what he says. He says, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So I lived in Mexico for a little while in a small town, and I saw a lot of chickens running around all over town. Well, when a chicken would have chicks with her, the chicks would follow her, darting around everywhere. And normally when a dog would bark or get angry or a big truck would drive by, normally chickens, you probably guessed it, are pretty chicken, and they run away from pretty much everything, except hens who have chicks with them. If a chick is in the middle of this dirt road and something big and scary comes around the corner, this is what the hen will do. It'll like puff itself out, like squat down, and the chicks will get underneath its feathers and it'll kind of fatten itself up. And you won't even be able to see all the little chicks underneath it. And it's as if that mother hen is saying, like, you're not getting to them, like, you have to go through me. And this very chicken animal suddenly becomes brave and protecting right in the middle of the road. Jesus says about the kids in Jerusalem that he longed to gather those children close to him and protect them with his own body. But the adults of Jerusalem wouldn't let him. I mean, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. We're going to just leave that to the side and just say that, think about the analogies we've seen so far, the metaphors. God described himself as a mom feeding a baby. God described himself as a mom teaching her baby to walk. God described himself as a mom comforting a crying child. And now Jesus describes himself as a bird protecting her young. Now, we all realize the idea that we've seen some moms who are not very good images of God, maybe in one moment or another. We've all seen moms who have maybe fallen short. And we all know chickens, you know, chickens have a brain that is maybe, you know, that big on a good day. Obviously, moms aren't perfect reflections of God. Obviously, a chicken is not a perfect reflection of Jesus. But God's able to point to specific things that moms do at their best, or even that hens do at their best, and say, I'm like that. This is something small that you can understand, but it's a reflection of what I'm like. So why should that matter? Why do we care about these reflections of God? Well, there's an interesting thing about old photographs. I don't know if you've ever come across an old picture like this that's kind of beat up, and maybe parts of it are missing, or there's lines or scratches through it, and it's black and white. And this is a picture of somebody I don't know, and like, if this was on my desk tomorrow, I'd probably just move it off of my desk, you know, like, I don't really care about this person. But I have a grandma. I'm blessed enough to still have a grandma alive and well, and she will sometimes show me old photos like this, and they're black and white, and sometimes they're bent on the edges and stuff, but it'll be pictures of her when she was young, or pictures of my grandpa when he was in the Navy and stuff like that. And I always look at those with a lot of interest, even though they're folded and not perfect, and even though they're black and white, it's because I love them, I know them and care about them. And because of that, I want to see them. I want to find out what I can know, because I never got the chance, obviously, to see them as teenagers. And so I want to see the best image I can see of them. I'm eager to see it. If we're in the room today and we say, like, I care about God, I care about the person that made me, that made all of us. If we care about him, then we should want to see images of him, even if they're black and white, even if they're a little folded and not perfect. If there's a chance to get a glimpse of God, we should want to see it. We should pay attention. And so if moms can show us kind of a black and white picture, a folded picture of God, we should look and say, I want to know God better. So how does that actually work? Well, earlier this week on Monday, I was praying about today, praying about this sermon. I knew I was going to be preaching about moms, but I didn't have anything to say, to be honest. And so I was praying, God, help me to know what to say about moms. Help me to figure out what to preach about. And Bob and I were on our way to lunch on Monday. We were going to visit Blanca. She's this lady right here. If you were at church on Wednesday night and had those delicious meatballs, that is because of Blanca. She is our cook on Wednesdays. She's an awesome lady. And we went to lunch to go visit her because she is a cook at, I forget the name of the place. She was wearing the t-shirt. But it's this really fancy pizza place down on the River Market downtown. And so Bob and I went and sat behind this little glass thing, and you could talk to Blanca as she's cooking the pizzas, and we're sitting on stools there talking with her. And she's flipping the dough up in the air and like putting all these fancy toppings on it. And then they've got this really cool big oven. And she's doing all that stuff as she talks to us. And Blanca, I wish I could take you guys all there and put you on a stool next to Bob and I so you get to hear this conversation. Blanca speaks in kind of broken English. It's her second language. She has a very humble style about her. But we're having this conversation about how she likes work, how is it going, because this is a somewhat new job for her. And as we talked to her about it, she's like, well, when I first started here, everybody else that was working around me, they said, like, this isn't really the right job for you. Like, you're not going to work out. Like, you've never made pizza before. This is like a high-end pizza place. Like, you're not going to make it here. So that's what people were telling Blanca. So Blanca tells us that, and I'm kind of, you know, I like Blanca. I'm kind of feeling, like, bad for her. But then she looks around, and she says, but all those people aren't here anymore. and she says, and now I'm an assistant manager, which was awesome to hear. So we're talking and chatting about that. She's like, it reminds me of a story about my little girl. So she starts to tell us about her daughter, who's 5. And her daughter came up to her one day and tugged on her mom and said, Mom, do you know God's given you a blessing? And so she's got this little cute girl that says that. And Blanca's like, oh, great. Like, the little girl's going to say, me, you know, like, God gave you me, and I'm such a blessing from God. That's what Blanca's expecting. And so she keeps talking to her girl, little girl, and the little girl's like, well, don't you want to know? Don't you want to know what the blessing is? And finally, Blanca's like, okay, what is it? And the little girl, she tells Blanca, she says, God gave you your hands. Because, Mom, you can do anything with your hands. And, like, when I heard that, I wish I could take you there and have you see Blanca's face as she's talking about her daughter. Because it was this mixture. It wasn't, like, pride, but it was this mixture of, like, satisfaction and, like, joy. I can't really even describe it. I've been trying to describe it all week as I've been thinking about it. So as she said that, and as we're leaving, I feel like God is talking to me about who he is. And I see that Blanca, you know, I have a whole list, actually, of stuff I feel like in that conversation that Blanca showed me that are very godly traits, things that are very much like God that she was doing and being about. But one big one, one to share today with you guys, is Blanca was so joyful when her daughter took the attention off of herself and didn't say, look at me, but when her daughter said, I understand something about you, and it's good. And it's a little picture of how God feels when we take the attention off of ourselves and we stop pointing at ourselves and saying, I'm so great, and we start saying, God, your hands are a blessing. You can do anything with your hands. I've seen it, and it's good. The way that Blanca's face, like, was shining, that's how God feels when we really worship him. We really take the attention off of ourselves and say, God, I see something in you that's really good. Now, it was a little tiny thing, but it's kind of like a little black and white picture of God that I was seeing there through Blanca. So for us today, as we're concluding the sermon here, I've got two challenges. You guys get to kind of pick which one you want to do. So the first one is for those of you that you maybe feel good about yourself. You're ready for kind of a deeper challenge. So if you're in that shoe, if you're in those shoes, I want you this day, as we're talking about moms a whole bunch, and maybe as you go do something with moms later today, I want you to have your eyes open and your heart open to say, how is what's happening? How is what am I seeing in these moms? How does that reflect God? Where is some trait of God being shown through a good mom? Because see, a lot of people will go through this whole week and they'll be like most of the people in this picture with their heads down and they're looking at their cell phone and checking something stupid on Facebook, or they're worried about work, or they're stressed about traffic. But I challenge you to be like this little kid who's pointing up at the sky and has this beam of light coming on him. I challenge you to be looking for God. God has given us all sorts of images to be able to see him. One of those images is moms. When moms are at their best, they're showing us a piece of God's love. And we can learn about God at a deeper level. We can understand God in a new way if we'll say, like I did on Monday, God, teach me. So what if this week, every morning, you said, God, teach me through a mom a piece about you. Teach me about something that you do through a mom that I interact with today. So that was challenge number one. Here's challenge number two. Maybe you came in today and you feel pretty beat up inside. Life hasn't been going well. People have disappointed you. Maybe you've disappointed yourself. And maybe you're either angry, or maybe you feel like you could break down and cry, or maybe you feel like you've cried all your tears out. I want you to know that those verses we read about God comforting people that were hurting, that's true. That if you're here today and you're all skinned up and you're hurt, that God wants to pull you close and hold on to you. God wants to comfort you like the world's best mom would comfort her child. Today, as the worship team is coming up, we're going to have people down front ready to pray. If you want that connection with God, if you're saying, I need to be held close by God, come down and pray with somebody right up front. If you feel like you're ready to go a little deeper with God, look at a mom today and ask God to teach you through her. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for giving us moms. God, I know all moms aren't perfect, God, but they can teach us something about you. And God, I thank you that you love us with such a full and big love. Help us to open up to you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.